goodness, here we go. God is good. Amen. And his mercy endureth forever. That's why we're not consumed. Right? As the Bible says, our God is as a consuming fire. How many times he consumes sin? That's why he had to send Jesus so he could be in us. That's why he put a flaming angels with a flaming sword against the tree over there. So we wouldn't have, Adam and Eve would not eat in that, and we would stay in that state forever. Because he's good. He's so good, and he loves us. Amen. Glory to God. God's got us a song this morning. I don't know why he does that with me. He just does. I like it too. I enjoy it. Beth, let's just go ahead and, well, let me tell you the title first. The title this morning, I had five, but I tried to condense it down to Believe the Love, and then I had Believe God, because 1 John 4:8 says God is love, right? Or you could say Believe the Word. The Bible says Jesus was the Word made flesh, right? Put on flesh and came down and dwelt among us. The Bible says it was God in Christ reconciling the world back unto himself. So I got about five different titles, but we'll just call this Believe the Love. Beth, if you would, go ahead and play our song, please. I don't know, boss. Get it good and loud for us. We like to feel it. We need some trouble. Over and unmute, please.
I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that
y'all, but that gets my wood burning. Amen. That the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, He lives on the inside of you when you get born again. Let's see. I think I got the scripture for that. Don't I, Beth? Let me get my glasses on here. Well, I'll tell you that one in a minute. Right now, I want to go over to John 17 and read you something right quick. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's good. Amen. Listen, whose service is this? Not just God's. God ain't going to just come in here and just pour out His Spirit and just do whatever He wants to do, turn us upside down and all that. It's God and ours. We have a part to play in it, right? Number one, it's our faith. Whenever we come together, we are the church, and the Spirit of Christ dwells on the inside of each one of us. Amen? So it's Him and it's us working together at all times. I want to read you this right quick, just one verse here. This is read, Jesus was talking. It's John 17, verse 23. Jesus had been praying for His disciples, and He said not only them that He prayed for, but also those that would believe on His word after them, which is us, right? Verse 23, He says, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. God loves you just like He loves Jesus. That was a little hard for me to take, Johnny. Because see, if you have anything about that, then that means somewhere in your subconscious or in your heart, you have a thinking of about what you do and all that you're not and how you don't measure. That's not in that verse nowhere. I didn't say God was always pleased with what I do or I say or something like that, but He always loves me, and He loves me just like He loves Jesus. He loves you just like He loves Jesus. How many knows we got to believe that? That love will help you to mature according to 1 John 4:18. That kind of believing, that love being matured, growing, developing on the inside of you, you believing that, it'll cast out all fear. When all fear's gone, what's left? Faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. I got the question here. Who are we? Let's go over to Matthew chapter 16. I'm going somewhere with this, so y'all just hang on. I also started to title this The Future Glory. Matthew 16, now I'm going to go up just a little bit before this. Jesus was talking to His disciples, and He asked Him, who do men say that I am? Some said Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, all that. And then He asked them, He said, but who do you say that I am? He asked the same question to me. Who do we say He is? Just like Peter, we say, thou art the Christ. Not Jesus. Jesus is the man. Christ is the anointed one and His anointing, right? So we're going to pick it up here in verse 16, where Peter answers Him. Let's see, I've got that in the Amplified. So He says, Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus answered him, blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood, men have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, Greek, Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, He's talking about the revelation, Greek, Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my what? Church. He says, in the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, we would call it hell, He says, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. What's that mean? It means hell can't stop us. A lot of people would look at that like the gates of hell can't prevail against us, like hell's just advancing all the time and coming against the church and the church is just barely. That's not what that says. What that says is the church is going forward. The book of Jude says, snatching them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That tells me that is not a church that is sitting back, just holding out the devil. That tells me that He's talking about a church that is advancing the kingdom of God, that is going forward, that is taking up serpents, right? Casting out devils, laying hands on the sick. Let's go on here. He says, and it shall not be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. In other words, the devil can't take us. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Who? The church. The keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever Jesus binds. Are you sure? Says, whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. Now, what does that mean? Well, the scripture says that how Jesus triumphed over Satan publicly. I mean, the way I look at it in my mind, he made a parade out of the devil and all of his cohorts. Just parading him down the street in front of everybody to say, you are whooped. Then according to Scripture, the Bible says, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and the authority of the name given to us of Jesus. What's that mean? It means he can't stop the church. He can't prevail against the church. Whatever the church declares... Y'all too quiet. Whatever the church binds. Ain't that what he said? Are we binding? Whatever the church looses, are we loosing? I'm reminded all of a sudden of the woman that was bent over. I think it was something like 18 years, 12 or 18. I can't remember. I get them two mixed up, the one with the issue of the blood and one. Anyway, she was bent over. Y'all remember the story. She had been bent over and she couldn't straighten up. And the Bible says, whom Satan has bound. Y'all remember that? Being a daughter of Abraham, it should have not have happened to her. She had a covenant with God. But anyway, she was. And what did Jesus tell her? Be loosed. What happened? Instantaneously, she stood up. So if he looses that, what do we loose? Healing, freedom, deliverance. If he binds the devil, then what do? We bind him. We bind sickness. We bind disease, right? We take authority, not because we are the source of the authority. Just like the cops out here at Blountsville, they didn't get that authority themselves. It came from where? The government. The whole entire government. You go all the way up to the White House and the laws and the authorities, the FBI, the CIA, all of that, it came from the head, right? All the way down to little Blountsville over here to where when they get in that car and they put that badge on, you better slow it down. Why? Because of them? No, but because of who they represent. Do you realize it's the same thing for me and you today? It's not because of you. It's not because of me. Why? We didn't get the authority. It was given to us. But therefore, because the devil was defeated, we take and enforce the authority that Jesus has given to us. Amen? So he said there, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let's go on here. Let's look at, so we are the church, right? That means the gates of hell have had a bad day. Let's look, Romans 8:11. That's the scripture I was going to tell you a while ago about the same spirit. Just the one verse here, because I got 45 minutes. Scotty informed me, 38 if I continue on. And I feel like I need his 11 o'clock too. I heard you kind of felt the same way, little Johnny. It's the way the anointing is, ain't it? Hey, but I can tell you, when he ain't here 5 minutes, you won't down. It's awful. Oh, what'd I tell y'all? Romans 8:11. Yeah. All right, how do I got that? All right, King James first. It says here, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, do what? Dwell in you. The day you got born again and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that same Spirit that raised him from the dead came to live on the inside of you and me. He says, but if the same Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. How? By a Spirit that dwells on the inside of you. Now, for time's sake, I'm going to skip over here to verse 17. And I'm going to start reading these in the Amplified version. If you don't have it, Beth will put it on the screen. It says, and if we are his children, talking about God's children, then we are his heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Now that's a little bit hard for me to believe too. This stuff takes mind renewal. Because a lot of times, the ministers and the devil, of course, the Bible says Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before God day and night. He accuses you to yourself. He accuses you to other people. That's just what he does, right? All the time. So a lot of times ministers and the devil and all of that have ministered sin to the body so much to where now a lot of us, we have a sin consciousness. How many knows we are not supposed to have sin consciousness? We're not supposed to be sin-minded. Why? You're not sinner anymore. You were a sinner, and if you've been born again, you have been saved by grace through faith, according to Ephesians, right? But you're no longer a sinner. Now the Bible calls you a saint. And glory to God, we didn't even have to die, like some denominations believe. You don't wear my medallion around your neck. We're not going to get off in all that. We're not getting in that, Johnny. But now you are, you know, some people have a hard time believing. They would say, I'm not a saint. Yes, you are. I said, believe the love. God loves you. Do you realize this entire book is because God loves us? And he wrote it to us, telling us how much he loves us, telling us his good plan. He told Jeremiah in verse 29:11, he said, I know the plans I got for you. Do you know Jeremiah's no different than me and you? The Bible says that Elijah or Elisha was a man with like passions just like me and you, and look how God used him mightily. But see, this sin consciousness, it's got to go. And we'll get to that a little bit later. I'm trying to get ahead of myself of how we're going to do that. But notice what he says here. We are heir of God. Everything God has belongs to you if you've been born again. It belongs to me. Everything that he has, the Bible says he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, right? He said the silver and the gold is his, right? The glory is his, right? I can hear now somebody said, God said the word says he will share his glory with nobody. He's not talking about me and you. The Bible says that he clothed Adam and Eve with what? His glory. They wore it like a garment, but they lost it. But how many knows Jesus came to give us back the glory of God? The Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. He was displaying God's glory. Abraham, whenever, y'all remember, he told God, he said, God, show me your glory. Y'all remember that scripture? Show me your glory. What God tell him, y'all remember? He said, I'm going to let all my goodness pass before you. He hid Abraham in the cleft of the rock, right? And all he got to see was his back parts, right? Because no man can see God and live, the Bible says. Ain't that what happened? Then what did he say? When he asked him for his glory, did he give him something different? No. What was his glory? He said, I'm going to show you my goodness. Jesus, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And what was he doing? Everywhere he went, he was telling them about their sin and their wrongdoing, pointing it out and all that. Are you sure? That's kind of the way we hear the gospel. But according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's not the gospel, and that's not what Jesus did. Let me tell you, if you've been born again, you don't have to have nobody preach to you about sin. You got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. The anointing, and the Bible says he will teach you all things. He is the convictor and the convincer. Because you can tell me something's wrong, and I might be like, you don't know what you're talking about. But I can't argue with him, Samantha. When he tells me in here, I know. But Jesus, I'm reminded of the woman. Y'all remember the woman that got caught in the act of adultery, the Bible says? I'm still waiting on the book to be wrote about the man, but anyway, that's okay. We'll leave that alone. She wasn't committing adultery by herself. But anyhow, oh, all these religious ones and these Pharisees and the Sadducees and all, they brought her to Jesus. Number one, they wanted to trap him. And number two, they were stuck on the law. According to Scripture, we're no longer under law, but we're under grace. Now, there's been a lot of wrong teaching about grace. Grace doesn't give you a license to sin. The Bible says that the true grace of God teaches me to deny all ungodliness. Is that not right? But Jesus told them whenever they said, okay, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Can you just say that right now? I mean, that's ugly, but anyway, that's what the Bible says. And brought her over there, throwed her down, and said, what do you say? Now, he's writing on the ground. He just stooped down, wrote on the ground. I don't know what he was writing. I believe he was waiting on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because he said, I never say anything that I don't hear my Father say. And I never do anything that I don't see my Father do. Sometimes we need to just wait. He's down there. I believe he's waiting on the Holy Spirit. I can't prove it, but I mean, he was led at all times, wasn't he? Well, then he stands up and he says, ye that is without sin, cast the first stone. Here comes the Holy Ghost. That's why I said you ain't got to preach it. Here comes the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says he began to convict each man's heart of his own wrongdoing. And one by one, the Bible says they walked away. While Jesus is down there writing again. Then he gets up and he asks the woman, he says, woman, where are your accusers? In other words, where's the devil, Johnny? See, we're not supposed to be accusing one another. I may not do what you do, but I do something. You may not do what I do, but I guarantee you, you do something. He said, where are your accusers, woman? She said, there's nobody. He said, neither do I condemn you. God does not condemn his people. The Bible says you can condemn your own heart, and the devil will condemn you. But God will never condemn you. The Holy Spirit will never condemn you. But he will convict you, and he will convince you of truth and righteousness. Right? That's a little side thing. Anyway, how many knows we got to have that? It's kind of like this. If you do something, we got to change this because we can't have sin consciousness and go from glory to glory. If you do something wrong, instantly but repent of that. You know when you do wrong. Instantly repent of that. Don't think another thought about it. Did you hear what I said? Not one more thought. I don't care what your feelings are. The Bible says when we confess our sins, and he's not talking about just salvation, that when we confess our sin, that Jesus Christ forgives our sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says when we ask forgiveness, God does what? He forgives and what? Forgets it. What do? Repent, forget it. Repent, forget it. Why? Because the devil will eat your lunch with condemnation. You, your own heart at different times, will condemn you. There's been people that's done things that have so condemned themselves to where they can't even serve God anymore. They think they are just absolutely so unworthy. And when the day they repented of that, God forgave them right then, never to be brought up to them or thought on again, but they're still condemning themselves 15 years later. That can't happen. And we're going to stay in line with Scripture, right? I'm not talking about living any way you want to. I said repent, didn't I? That means don't just feel sorry. It means change your heart and your mind to line up with the will of God. Now, he says there that we are heirs of God, verse 17, and fellow heirs with Christ. That means whatever he has, I have. Listen, my mama made a will. I'm the executor over that will now, so they better be good. I'm just kidding. I really am, but I was just kidding about the other part. And you know what, Johnny? My sister got the same amount as I got. My brother got the same amount as what I get. And I get the same amount as my brother and my sister. Now, which my sister's going to go to them. But anyway, my point to all that is, we get the same thing Christ gets. Do you see the mind renewal? We get the same thing he gets. We have the same thing he has. Ain't that what that means? Fellow heirs. It means me, my brother, and my sister, we all get the same. That means Sandy, every born-again believer, me, everybody else, we all get the same as Christ. Now, so we're fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his sufferings if we are to share his glory. He says, but what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, the persecutions, the trials, the tests, the tribulations, right? Not sickness and disease. We bind that. We resist that. Why? Jesus bore that for us. Anxiety. Jesus bore the chastisement of our peace, right? We don't put up with all that. He says, but what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory. That is about to be revealed to us, and in us and for us and conferred on us. What's the glory? God's goodness. Not holding nothing back. Nothing. His glory. And not only is it His goodness, but it's also His splendor. His majesty. See, I told you a while ago, I could hear somebody saying, God said He won't share His glory with anybody, with nobody else. He's not talking about me and you. He clothed us in the beginning with glory. And we lost it, so Jesus come. Why? For us to be reclothed with that glory. In the full manifestation of the sons of God. What He's talking about in that verse, He don't share His glory with no other God. Why? There is no other God but Him. But how many knows there's many that says they are God? They can't see, they can't hear, they can't talk, they can't do nothing, but they display themselves as God, and there is none. And those, He will not share His glory with them. He does bestow His glory on us. Oh, somebody still didn't get it. Let's read that again. I'm going to read that again. Let's get it this time so I don't have to read it three or four times. He says, but what of that, talking about the suffering, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us. It can only come by revelation. And in us, and for us, and conferred on us. Notice this. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons, me and you, the born again, to be made known, waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. For the creation nature was subjected to frailty, to futility, condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of Him who subjected it, yet with the hope. Now he says that the nature creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. But notice what that says. All the earth, I'm paraphrasing, all the earth groans and travails. Can you see it groaning and travailing? I think they had two earthquakes in New York. What was it, this week or last week? They are happening all over the place. All over the planet. Alaska, California. You know, we've always had them from time to time. But the Bible talks, when you see all these things happening together, I don't know about y'all, but when I went into labor, my labor started 3 to 5 minutes apart, and it stayed that way. And I was in labor 15 hours and 20 minutes. Naturally. Anyway, but that last few minutes, I'm telling you, it's one hard pain that don't stop. And we're seeing it increase and increase and increase. Why? The earth itself is groaning and travailing, waiting on me and you, the revealing of me and you, the glory on the sons of God. Why? Whatever we bind on earth is bound. Whatever we declare on earth is done. Right? Let's go on here. I got a lot to get here. Colossians 1:27. Will you put that on the screen, please, Beth, and I'm just going to read it from there instead of turning to it. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It says, which is Christ, not Jesus, Christ, that same Spirit, Christ in you, the confident expectation of the glory. He says, the hope of the glory. It's on the inside of me and you. The Bible talks about when He comes, He's coming back for what? Ephesians says that glorious church. She's going to be clothed in His glory, in His goodness, displaying His power, His goodness, His authority. And you might thank God you have got your work cut out for you. He does, and He's capable. And He will do it. But He's got to have me and you cooperating with Him. Now let's go quickly here. I ain't got about 20 minutes left. 1 John 5:4. See, we got to believe this because a lot of us Listen, I don't care how long you've had something in your life. You might say, well, don't think about that. You might say, well, I've had it 40 years. It doesn't matter. Do you understand? You and God can take care of it just like that. So you've been thinking on that, trying to get rid of that, not do that or say that or whatever the case might be for 40 years, you're telling me? How much have you accomplished? If you're still in it, nothing. I'm reminded of God told them. Y'all remember they got bit by the serpents and different scorpions, different things in the wilderness when they was out there because of all their complaining and disobeying? And God told them, he said, okay, he said, make a brass serpent, put it on a pole. Y'all remember that? And he went on and he said, tell them, look at it. He said, everybody that looks at it, and that word look, when you look it up, it says gazely, intently gaze at it. It don't mean just, oh yeah. It means look at it and keep on looking. Gaze intently. He said, everybody that looks at that serpent on the pole, he said, they're going to be healed. And sure enough, according to Scripture, everybody that intently gazed on that serpent on the pole, they was healed. See, you become whatever you behold. Perfect example. Say, your kids, you know how they are, you know, their friends, this, that, and another, how they normally are at home, how they normally talk and dress and this, that. Let a new kid come to school. One that they like or think is cool or something or another. Before you know, who in the world do you think you are? Who you been talking to? You don't normally talk like this. Why? They are beholding someone. And whatever you behold, you will begin to look like, talk like, act like, imitate. The Apostle Paul says, imitate God is what? Dear children. What's that mean? Look at Him. We got to quit looking at us and look at Him. Because looking at me, the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author, which means the beginner, and the finisher of what? Our faith, our believing. He said He's going to take us from faith to faith, according to Romans 1:17, right? It says, the just shall walk and live by faith. And it says, the glory of God's revealed from faith to faith. Well, then He says He's going to take us from one level of glory to another level of glory. Is it by me and you changing ourselves? Absolutely not. If we could have done it, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. I cannot. You cannot. But as we behold Him, we become like Him. Now, here in 1 John 5, for time's sake, I got to start reading in verse 4. How do I got that? King James? Oh, well, y'all looking at it, and I ain't. It says, for whatsoever, Scotty always says whosoever. It says whatsoever. For whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world. Now, listen, the Bible says Satan is the god of this world and its system. But he's already overcome him, right? Jesus said, as long as we live in this world or this earthly realm, we're going to have tribulation, right? Trials, tests, hardships. You can't faith them away or nothing else. Now, you take authority over the devil, but you can't just have an easy, rosy life. Why? Because Satan is the god of this world, and this world is fallen. But Jesus said, as long as you live in this world, you're going to have tribulation. He said, what? Be of good cheer. Cheer up, my children. I have already overcome the world. He says here, by faith we overcome the world. Why? It's not because of us. It's because He already overcome Him. And what do? We enforce His defeat. We say, no more. Is that not right? Blountsville didn't make the speed limit out here necessarily. But Blountsville does enforce that speed limit. When it's 35, you're going to see some blue lights. If you're going 55. So what is that? We're like the cops. Johnny really is. He's got the blue lights in the car and all. But what I mean by that, we have the authority in the name of Jesus. Not me and you, we're not the source. Right? We're not the author. But it has been given to us, and therefore what do? We use it by faith. And he says there, he says, for whatsoever is born of God, if you've been born again, then he says, you overcome the world. You might say, well, I don't. That's a lie. Stop saying that. You may not have seen it yet, but we have to believe this, right? Not what you see, not what you think, not what you feel, not your experience, not your circumstance, not what people say. What this says, right? Well, this says you overcome. He says the world, and this is the victory, thank you, Lord. It says He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, right? He always gives us the victory, right? He says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our believing. Believing what? Everything He said, everything He done. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then you can't overcome the world. But you got to believe it. Now, so that verse there says that we are overcomers. Philippians 4:13, please, Beth. I'm not going to turn it here. Because of these, I'm just going to read one verse here because I ain't got a lot of time. What's that say? Only three of y'all can read? Let's read it then. I need you to say it. Let me tell you something. You don't cast out a thought with another thought. You don't uproot strongholds of thinking by other thinking. Let's read it. I can do all. I looked up the word all in this. You know what that means? All. Nothing left out. I looked it up. He says, I can do all things. How? Through Christ, which is going to strengthen me. Don't you ever again. Listen, if the thought ever comes to you about something, I can't, cast it out. Scotty went to the bank to make some kind of transaction. Y'all have heard the story, most of you, one time. And he got over and told him what he wanted to do. And the teller told him, we can't do that. He said, that's not in the Bible. That's not a word. You know how he know that? He went and looked it up, Johnny, and it's not there. You know what happened? Her little fingers got to walking and whatever she had to do, and they could. They did. They can. So, see what I'm telling you? Because he's going to tell you, you can't. You can't quit doing this. You can't start doing that. You can't stop thinking this. You can't lay hands on the sick. You're not the source. He said you can. Just let him use your hand. But if you don't believe you can, you won't. But he says, I can do. Y'all remember the story about the Scotty's blue tractor that tore up? I forget. What limp mode, is that what that was called? Went into that. He took it to Columbia and took it to some of the best mechanics on tractors and all of that. None of them could fix it. And then the ones that said they possibly could, they thought they might could, it was going to cost him $8,000 to $10,000. Well, y'all know Scotty. We're not going to spend no $8,000 to $10,000. Why? Because his favorite saying is, the devil ain't robbing me. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He has renewed his mind to this thinking, if God, you can give a man wisdom and knowledge to build it, surely you can and will give me knowledge and ability to fix it. I mean, this thing was awful. And nobody fixed it, and he needed it. And we're making payments on the thing. And we know it's the will of God that it works. All of a sudden, one day, God speaks to me. I had been praying for Scotty about that tractor. And he speaks to me, and he says, that tractor will be fixed. And I'm like, glory to God, you know. Well, I told Scotty about it, you know, what I felt like the Lord had told me and everything. Well, lo and behold, he goes up there, and he just starts looking at it, Johnny. He starts walking around, and he's pondering, looking for the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And he's just walking around it, and he's looking at it, and he's messing with this, and he's and lo and behold, here comes, when he takes that step, God gives him another step. And when he does that, God shows him something else. Johnny, that tractor runs. Now, it has a few little Scotty combinations, but it runs. It works. Oh, yeah, and then we paid our house off with the $11,000 that they was going to charge 8 to 10. I forget about that part. That wasn't my point anyway. You're at 11. Quit taking up my time here. Let's see here. Matthew 17:20, please, Beth. He said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, that is, your lack of firmly relying trust, for truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, you can do what? If you can't think it, you won't say it. The Bible says that the mouth speaks the abundance that's in your heart, and we know, according to Mark 11, you got to be believing something in your heart to say it for it to happen. But notice what he says, mustard seed, you can say, not Jesus is going to say, you can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it will move, what's it say? And nothing, the word nothing means nothing, will be impossible to the Lord. What? Nothing will be impossible to you if you believe it. Let's look at, put up for us, Genesis 8:14, please, Beth. He asked this question. That ain't it, is it? That ain't the one I got. Genesis 8:14. I may have wrote that down wrong. Anyway, that ain't it. The question that he asked was, he said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me tell you something. I was praying one day, and I was going to tell God, God, you're only limited this, that, and the other. And this is what he spoke to me. Before I even got the question out, he's in there, Johnny. I don't even got to ask at all. He said, I'm limited by nothing. I have no limits, he said, except the ones you put on me. Remember Jesus in the Bible? They was some. The centurion man, he came and he said, just speak the word, Jesus. That's where his faith was. He said, because I'm a man, I understand authority, and all you got to do is say it. Then there was others, the Jairus, he said, come lay your hands on my daughter. That's where his faith was. He didn't have to come lay his hands on her. He could have just said it, just like he did with the centurion man, couldn't he? But how did Jesus get limited? Jesus got limited because that's what he believed. You got to come and you got to. God has absolutely no limits. And God in you has absolutely no limits except the ones you will put on him. So let's don't, amen. I'm going to have to, I got about 2 minutes, so I'm going to have to skip on down all of this down to Hebrews 4. I want y'all to start praying this every day if you would. You don't have to. Don't do what I say. Because I don't believe it's me saying it anyway. But if you're dumb, you're dumb. If Jesus told you to do something, would you do it? Well, who you think's talking right now? Look here at Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12, King James Version. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Look in the Amplified. If you don't have it, Beth will put it on the screen. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature. Notice what it says. Exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. I have started praying every day. Holy Spirit, help me that the Word of God would discern my every thought. My, because if I got to cast down every thought, I need somebody to help me determine which ones need casting down and which ones don't. So whenever you begin to pray this, the Word's going to come up, the Holy Spirit. And I tell Him that the Word of God would discern my every thought and intent of my heart and reveal it to me whether it's approved or disapproved. Because if you approve it, I'm going to allow it and think on it. If you the Word of God disapproves it, I'm going to cast it out and I won't think on it. Now look here at Philippians 4, and I got to stop. But I got to tell you this part before we stop. And this is a King James Version here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, I'm going to start reading in. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So what do? No matter what, we rejoice in Him. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Be careful for nothing. Now let me switch over to the Amplified. He says, let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerate, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. He's coming soon. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. In other words, don't worry about nothing. That's a commitment you got to make. He says here, but by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state. Let me switch back over to the King James. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, I want you, it'd be good if you write this down, meditate on this, and do this. He said here, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay, if it's not this, I'm not going to think on it. I'm glad three of y'all said yeah. I'm telling you, this is the way for you to go from glory to glory. You're going to have to forget about you. The Bible says in, what I got here? It says 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18. You can go look it up for yourself because I don't have time. But the Bible says that all of us, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the image, the same image, from glory to glory. I've got to stop because actually I'm a couple minutes over here. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comment quickly before we close?